Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's episode of Pit Panther Rants and Other Sports Brands Podcast is brought to you by The Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or go to Instagram, type in sportsdrink without the vowels, you know, S-P-R-T-S-D-R-N-K, and check them out. All we do is ask that you close the door behind you, because we're trying not to let the funk out. Welcome to a Pit Panther Rants, our Sports Rants Podcast. Watt Harris, your host, brought to you by the Sports Drink. I got some, you know, pretty cool things to let's talk about them right now. Let's see. For Father's Day was yesterday, and it was a good time. My last two Father's Days have been great. I mean, last Father's Day, I went ice skating, which was, you know, I went ice skating and I went on a date, and I remember the date ended up friend zoning me because, I had three young kids and an ex. I had an ex and three young kids. And this woman, she was very nice, and she was probably in her late 40s, I think 47 maybe. She's never had kids, never been married. And, she's one of those fitness people, and I'm sure she's probably on Instagram as well. I mean, she was good looking, nice body. The only thing I can say about her was she was vegan, which, you know, I don't mind. I mean, our date was at a vegan Mexican restaurant. And, you know, I'm open to try new things like that. You know, I've done it. So it is what it is. Your diet is your diet. She couldn't eat past 6:30, and she had to be in bed by at least 8:30. And unfortunately, you know, I understand she didn't like my baggage, which was this. Having three young kids and, you know, dealing with an ex. But yeah, I can't date somebody who has to be in bed, you know, before my kids, you know, my kids go to bed probably at like 9 o'clock, maybe, during the summer, I stay up till 10 usually, but yeah, on school nights, they maybe go to bed at 8:30, but yeah, I can't, you know, I mean, but teach their own. I mean, if you need the rest, you need the rest. I mean, you know, she just had a very strict schedule, and just, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't going to work. But the thing about it is, if you're in your 40s and you're dating, trying to date somebody, everybody you date, regardless. I mean, if you're a guy trying to date somebody or a woman trying to date somebody, they're all going to have some sort of baggage attached to them. No matter what, it could be kids, it could be emotional baggage, it could be, you know, mental baggage, it could be all kind of baggage. I mean, they're all going to have some sort of baggage by now, and you know, the dating pool will pretty much that just is what it is, and from what I've seen, it's more. You know, people just stop, you know, a lot of dates, I mean, I dealt with, I mean, people just stop communicating with you, whether it's, they don't call as much, they don't text as much, and after a while, it's like, why put the energy of, you know, driving all that way, wasting gas, I mean, especially with the gas prices now, I mean, wasting gas, spending money on that date or whatever, if you have a great time, and of course, it leads to, you know, so, yeah, that's just how it is. But this Father's Day was pretty decent. I had, you know, plenty of gifts. I was spoiled. We had dinner, you know. It was an awesome time. I mean, the fact that I get to spend holidays without any drama, without, you know, dealing with, you know, any type of toxicity is always a good thing. But what did I get? I got picture frames. Let's see. I got some clothes, and of course, and some of course dinner. But you know, I can't go wrong with that. I mean, I love food. Oh, so my kids got me a football, so we can, you know, because they always see me playing Madden on the TV, you know, the PlayStation 4. So they bought me a football. So I throw a football. You know, we spent the day tossing the football around as well, which was kind of cool. And I got some football cards, some action pack that I ordered off eBay. Now these were $20 a box. Yeah, and pretty much with this action pack, you pretty much are getting what you paid for with $20. I mean, these cards are from 1991. So these are 30. Let's see. Shit, these are 30-year-old cards. 30 years old. When I was collecting cards in 1988, 87, 30 years back was in the 50s. And those cards were expensive as all get out. When I collected in 91 and for 88 and whatever, I expected 30 or 40 years that my cards would be worth a lot of money. Now, a lot of cards that I collected back then are worth the same as what they are now. And the cards that I spent money on going to the convenience store. We're going way off target here, but because you know this was supposed to be, you know, I was supposed to start off a pit, but I can get my card. I can get the cards I collected 30 years ago, or even let's see, hell, 40 years ago, maybe no 30, yeah 30, 30 years. I can get them for the same price I bought them. You know, I can get them for the same price I bought them 30 years ago, or even cheaper. You know, because yeah, we'll have to get to this back to this. Conversation because this is pretty, you know, yeah. Let's get to the piss stuff. Let's get the piss stuff out of the way because I got some love other stuff I have to talk about. Pitt football got some more verbals. They got three more, and I think they got more commits. I guess coming in that I've yet to announce, but they got Rasheem Biles, an athlete from Pickerton, Ohio. They got Braylon Lovelace, a linebacker. He's pretty much they say he's a project, pretty much. He's from Leechburg, PA, and Montrevious Lloyd, running back from St. Petersburg, Florida. So they got some, Pitt's got some more guys, so they're still loading up. But on top of that, you know, I need to stop making some troll tweets because I did one for Pittsburgh Sports Now where I had my top three receivers, and my top three receivers were white. I posted were white guys, and you know, I mean, Cooper Kupp was an obvious one, but I mean, Hunter Renfrow, not really. The guy's 26 years old and pretty much, you know. And then, but I think the dead giveaway was Adam Thielen, or Thielen, or how you pronounce his name. I mean, that was a dead giveaway. That was not a, you know, serious tweet. I probably should have had Cole Beasley, but I didn't. And yeah, you know, some people did take that seriously, and it really, really wasn't that serious. But that's the life of the internet. Now let's. I keep trailing off here, but yeah, but Pitt Hoops also added. Pitt Basketball added a 4-star. Carlington Carrington, he's supposedly a top 100 prospect. I mean, he chose Pitt over Stanford, Loyola, Chicago, George Mason, Iona, which aren't you know, a bad list of schools. I mean, that really isn't. I mean, Loyola Chicago's had some success. Same with, I mean, those are all names. When you go look at the NCAA tournament, usually those are names that you'll see pop up. I mean, 4-star. He joins 3-star small forward Mary Barnes Jr. So, say what you want about Pitt. They've been, for, you know, Jeff Cable, but he's showing, you know, signs of life here as far as the recruiting goes. Now, as we look at, going back to Pitt's, I'm bouncing all over the goddamn place today. Pitt football's commitments, Rasheem Biles. I mean, he had offers from, well, notable offers, West Virginia, probably Toledo and Purdue. He had a lot of MAC offers, which, you know, you're going to have that. Braylon Lovelace. Notable offers, Virginia Tech was one of them. Toledo. Yeah, he didn't, not much there. And Montrevious Loy, the Florida kid. West Virginia, Wake Forest, South Florida, I mean, so, you know, sometimes they have, you know, they used to be a name. Florida State. I mean, obviously the Florida school was one of them, so there's that. God, I hate getting text messages during podcasts. But there we go with that. I mean, I'm still clicking through. And I'm looking at Twitter right now, and some guy posted, you know, Acer Windows, the guy who calls himself Cliff Notes now, he's posting a picture of some camouflage cargo shorts. So I'm wondering where he's going. Is he going to a, is that Dave, I mean, this camouflage cargo spell, is that like Dave Matthews kind of thing? Or is it some, you know, or is that like an Incubus concert kind of thing? Or is he going to a 311 concert? I mean, that, I don't know. I went to a 311 concert once, and it was actually with Incubus. It was at the Rochester Rice Rink, and there was no ventilation in that place whatsoever. And everybody was smoking up. And I just remember by the time that concert ended, my lungs were just about to collapse. And but anyways, running out of material here. I'm seeing a Cervosia Dennis. In fact, let me pull up that article, actually. Let's take a look here. Cervosia Dennis is a trib article from Jerry DePaula. Cervosia Dennis said his love for Pitt football made him spurn transferred suitors. Looks like he loves playing at Pitt, which is great. I mean, I'm happy for him. I love that he wants to stay at Pitt. But he had a couple of offers from people that they want him to entice him to transfer. Dennis declined to identify the schools for good reason. That's NCAA violation. Good job. You don't want to ruin your eligibility. One of the reasons why he wanted to stay was he wanted to create his own legacy here. He's almost done with his degree, and he wanted to check that off. And he wanted to stay here with Pitt football. I mean, obviously, it's obviously Cervosia's. He's well connected with his teammates at Pitt. And it kind of makes you wonder what happened. It kind of makes you wonder about the Jordan Addison situation. You know, obviously he loves being here. I mean, look at this quote. Right now I want to keep the main thing, and that's Pitt football. I have a lot of friends on this team, a lot of family on this team, a lot of young guys who look up to me. If I made that move, how would I look in their eyes? It was a lot that came into play, but mostly my love for Pitt football. It kind of maybe shed some light a little bit on the Jordan Addison situation. I mean, he was recruited to transfer out of Pitt, but maybe there was something else there. I mean, obviously Jordan had a connection with Kenny Pickett, and maybe when Kenny graduated, and, you know, maybe he just, yeah, it's kind of telling. Maybe just Jordan was maybe a little bit more disconnected than we thought, and that's why he's in at USC. It is what it is. But that, you know, sometimes if you like being, if you've been somewhere for so long, if you like it there, you don't want to change your routine. You don't want to change things up. You want to disrupt what you do. And that's why a lot of people don't like changing jobs. I mean, it's, you know, if you have something good going, there's no sense of disrupting it. You know, if you're getting a steady check and you love the people you're around, I mean, it's real, all that matters. You know, so, and I mean, obviously that defensive unit is very unified. You can tell how united that group is and how they seem to have a lot of fun. You know, they're always on Instagram Live doing stuff as well. So you have, you know, I've seen that a bunch of times. Brandon Hill's always on Instagram doing something. But, I mean, yeah. All right, so enough of the pit stuff now, because I'm just going to start rambling and pausing. You know, my last podcast, I did some strip club stories, and I have some more to tell. Actually, two, actually. One in particular is we went to Silky's one night, and one of the dancers was kind of, I don't know, she was kind of boyish, I would say. And she was kind of, her build was kind of built like a guy as well. And I just remember she was dancing in front of me, and I tried not to laugh at her. Like, I was just holding it in, because I knew if I laughed at her, I was going to really hurt her feelings, and, you know. But I turned my laughter into pretending to enjoy the whole thing. So we both had we both joined, you know, our 30 seconds together, so I can put my dollar in her G-string and she can move on to the next guy. But the other one I have to tell you is even more funnier. I used to play deck hockey, and, well, one of the things about deck hockey is there's always a registration deadline when you have to pay registration. We had two guys that owed hockey registration. It was our goalie and this other player, one of our offensemen. So the captain, the goalie and the offenseman went to the highway playground, and the goal was to go there before the hockey game. So they went. They drove from right, and then they left the highway playground to play a deck hockey game. Now, I mean, looking back at this, I'm sure we all enjoyed deck hockey and whatnot, but who the hell leaves a strip club to go play deck hockey? That just blows my mind. Just thinking about that. I mean, I probably would have stayed at the strip club, but he went to collect the ref fees, and he goes, "Hey, registrations, dude, do you have your registration?" And the goaltender looks at him and goes, "Yeah, I have it. I had it." And he said, "Well, where is it?" He said, "I gave it all to the strippers." And we played that game without a goalie. Oh no, somebody else had to suit up. And because, you know, he had the money, he gave it to the strippers. I gave my Nike golf hat to a stripper one time, and, you know, it was one of those Tiger Woods snapbacks, you know, the black with the white swoosh. And I think I just bought that hat, too. I think I just bought that hat. And it was replacing my other Nike swoosh hat. Because, you know, at the time, that was that black Nike hat with a swoosh, that was the style. I mean, they had different colors, too. But that's when, you know, that's kind of when, you know, Nike became more, I guess, more of a stylish wear, because early in my high school in the mid 90s, you pretty much wore starter stuff. It was starters. It was NFL teams, college teams, DeLong pullovers. I mean, everybody wore the DeLong pullovers. It wasn't until like maybe later that people started wearing like Nike shirts, Adidas shirts, Reebok, whatever. I mean, people start actually wearing that stuff rather than the actual. I think it's pretty much was the beginning of the end of the starter for the most part. It was getting with the times. All right, so I'm done rambling about that, but let's get to the card openings. Now, I did open some of these packs, and I'm gonna tell you guys. I mean, this here was my first six. Here was the first six cards I got. Let's see, my first six were Tony Page from the Dolphins, Lewis Oliver, Steve Wisniewski, Jarvis Williams, Bruce Armstrong, and Carl Lee. And then my next six were Frank Stams, Randall McDaniel, Bruce Matthews, Dwayne Bickett, Ken Hall, and Richard Dent. Okay, because six cards came in each pack of these action pack cards. Now, just imagine, and these packs ran from between, I think, $1.50 to $3, maybe more at one point. But these cards were supposed to be the gold standard because they were thick. They had 24-karat gold, you know, stamping. they were supposed to be the, you know, the hottest of hot cards. Now, I read you those names off because that's what I got in these packs. So imagine spending $3 on a pack of cards and you get that. I mean, what's the point? Now, let's look at my next six. Calvin Williams, David Little. Oh, a Steeler. Brent Jones, Anthony Miller, John Taylor, and Eugene Robinson. Yeah, that's a really awesome thing. But it got better a little bit later. My last two packs, I got checklists. So imagine spending $3 for a pack of cards, and one of your six cards is a checklist that's worth little, that's worth dick. And actually, the checklist is like a piece of paper. It's flimsier than a business card. But let's look at my last six. My last six were Dan Marino, Cleveland Gary, Marcus Allen, which isn't too much of a bad haul, checklist, Barry Word, and then Derek Thomas. That's not too bad. Then I had, let's see, my next pack, Christian Okoye, Anthony Munoz, Mike Singletary again, Mark Carrier, checklist, and Neil Anderson. Now, I was a huge fan of Neil Anderson growing up, so I love this card of him. But yeah, this was the gold standard. I mean, that's when, in the early 90s, they started releasing all these different sets out that they were supposed to be the greatest, and they just never were. I'm thinking actually about buying some basketball next. I'm thinking about some 1993, maybe Skybox. Let me see. Let's take a look here. 91-92 Skybox basketball. How much? I mean, can I get a box of these, and how much? Oh, they're running for friggin'... Chasing Jordan. Let's go eBay again. eBay.com. Because that's where I bought the action pack for $20. Now, there's a rookies series of these that I thought about buying. But I just don't feel like paying... They're $20, but the shipping is $16. I don't feel like paying $16 shipping for a $20 box of cards. Let's see. Let's try 91, 92 basketball packs. Because I want to take a look at something here. Ooh, I can get a pack. Let's see, 10 packs of Upper Deck for $27. Oh, Skybox. Let's see. I can. NBA Hoops. I'll tell you what, the basketball really carried its value. Let's see, Upper Deck, High End. Yeah, that's the only thing. That's the only grip I had about Upper Deck was they did the low end and high end, and it ruined everything because you spent so much time collecting the low end. Then they released the high end, and you're like, okay, well, I just spent most of my time doing this. I'll have to look at this because I do want to buy some basketball wax packs, and either that I can do hockey, one of the two. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into this. What about hockey? Hockey packs. Let's see, I can get... Well, what? That's two packs. No, nothing there. I'll have to look into this. Oh, I can get Pro Set dirt cheap because they overproduced the hell out of Pro Set. Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into this because I definitely want to do this. Ooh, Parkhurst. I forgot about Parkhurst. But yeah, I used to go to the Woodland Flea Market in West Mifflin, and man, it was packed on Saturdays and Sundays, especially during the time of, baseball season. I remember I started collecting in 88 when the Pirates got pretty big. And I remember I was collecting all the team sets, and I was collecting all of them from 88 backwards. And I got to learn so much about the Pirates just by doing that, about the players they had. And just, And, of course, my dad said, yeah, they were pretty much, I was reading the cards off from, like, the 85, 86. And my dad's like, yeah, those teams were really, really bad at that point. Yeah, they sucked. My dad would be like, yeah, this guy, he kept dropping the ball. This guy couldn't hit. But I would go there. I would collect that, a bunch of stuff. Then what was my favorite? I love Classic. And if you remember Classic, they made a whole bunch of card sets. I love collecting those. But I remember when Topps Stadium Club came out, it was a Series 1 baseball. I mean, they were selling for like $10 a pack at one point. I mean, I had a Dave Justice Stain Club that I traded for more packs because I didn't think he'd be, you know, it was going to be worth that much. At the time, it was going for $15, and I almost wanted to hurt myself. And luckily, that card's worth dick now. And it's funny now because I look at some of these cards now and, like, you know, why would I want to spend this money on, like, a Bonds rookie that is, like, you know, PSA 10 when I can just get the same card for, like, Gem Mint for, like $10 or something. Let's see. 1986 Bonds rookie. Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, you can get the 1986 Topps traded Bonds rookie. You can get for, it's five, there's one for $500. There's a PSA 10 for $9,475. Or I could just get one pre-owned for $11. So yeah, there's Yeah, there's as you can see, I'm looking at these. I mean, I can get the Bonds. I mean, for what they're selling a Bonds rookie for $9,000, I can get one for $35, probably less than that. That's just the hilarious part about that. Is some of these cards are. It's like I'm not gonna spend $10,000 on a card, but I can get the same one for like a lot less. I mean, a Canseco rookie. I've always wanted a Canseco rookie. Now, the Don Russ one, I mean, I got a Topps Canseco rookie for $325. It's the Topps traded. The Don Russ one, let's see. Don Russ. Shoot, I can get it now. God, that card was like $60 at one point. I can get one now for $13. Poor Jose. You really were meant more than this. I mean, I get a six count lock in Sega rookies for $50. I mean, that just, man, that sucks. I'm sorry, Jose. You deserve better. But let's get these pack ripping because I've been rambling about this. I got four. I'm gonna rip up four packs, guys. So here we go. The first pack of these cards. Oh wow. John Elway, Bobby Humphrey. Now, back in 91, this Bobby just came off a 1,000-yard season. Wait a fucking minute. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. Hold on. They're stuck together. Bobby Humphrey, he just came off two consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. Look at this. Barry Sanders. Wow. Look at that. That was his third year. And a checklist. Don Majkowski, the Magic Man. Sterling Sharp and Warren Moon. So in one pack, I got Elway, Bobby Humphrey, which would have been worth something at one time. Barry Sanders, Don Majkowski, Sterling Sharp, and Warren Moon. That pack, I mean, this pack, I mean, this, I mean, these cards were going for $2.50 to $3 a pack. They were going probably $3, I'm thinking. Maybe more than that. I know some of them went for $6, but that pack alone was more than what I would have paid for. I mean, that pack's probably worth the entire box here. Now, let's go to the next one. Ooh, Troy Aikman. Jeff George, and it's a 24-karat gold Jeff George. Oh, shit. That's nice. A Jeff George 24-karat gold. Bo Jackson. And I got a card. It's stuck to Jim Everett, or Chris Everett, as they call them. Ronnie Hampton, Jerry White, and Reggie White. Two straight packs I got fired. It almost seems like I had to go through all the shitty packs. It seemed like the first few packs were just shitty. And I had to work my way down to the actual good stuff. I think that's how a lot of these car boxes were. So let's go to the next one here. The third pack. Oh, we definitely Yeah, the streak has ended. Stephon Page, he was a pretty good receiver for the Chiefs. Henry Illard was pretty decent. Art Monk, Mark Rippon, Kyle Clifton, and Raina Thompson. The two notable ones is Illard and Mark Monk. I mean, those are just commons. I mean, those cards probably wanted 50 cents, but this was thick card stock, and it was 3D. And let's go to another pack. Maybe we'll do one more after this. I mean, we're 30 minutes on this podcast. Let's see. Buford McGee, whoever the hell that is. I mean, imagine spending $3 on a pack and you're getting Buford fucking McGee. Albert Lewis, Reggie Cobb, Kevin Fagan, Morton Anderson, John Stevens. Imagine spending $3 and you get that as your cards. I mean, that's like buying a $10 pack of Stain Club, and you know, it's getting basically nothing. All right, I'm gonna open two more packs here. It's one thing I loved as a kid was getting a whole wax box and just opening packs. I mean, it was just. And what's funny is you get your parents would be like, "Why don't you just buy a whole set and be done with it?" And I'm like, "You just don't understand." I mean, the thrill of it opening up, smelling that bubble gum. Oh, there's no gum in this; it's just cardboard. But let's see here: Steve Walsh, Brad Baxter, Ken O'Brien. Ooh, some Jets I'm getting. Keith Byers, Sammy Smith, and Richmond Webb. Yep. That's pretty much the gist of it. But I'm curious. Let's see here. Jeff George, 1991, action-packed. Jeff George. How much is that car going for? Let's see. Doesn't say. I'm just trying to figure out how much the 24 karat is. 24K? It doesn't say. I'm curious to how much it'd be worth. I'd have to look it up and see. But, I mean, $24 gold. May have to go to a collector and figure this one out, but yeah, I mean, that's pretty much there. Wait a minute, there's action pack baseball too. Last pack, you guys. Clarence Verdon, Sean Jones, Vance Johnson, Trace Armstrong, Willie Gault, and Mervin Fernandez. And yes, that was a pack of hot garbage. But the Jeff George, I'm very intrigued about. I mean, I'm curious how much that card's worth. I mean, it's a Jeff George. I mean, I'm acting like that's a lot. I mean, Jeff George cards, I think, when they came out, were a decent price back then. And then, of course, he played like ass. But I got an Aikman. Yeah, here it is right here. That's nice. Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out how much it is. But the Bo Jackson's nice. And I got Barry Sanders. And I got John Elway. Yeah, I'll have to figure these out. Anyways, guys, I'm going to end it here. Hell to Pit. Have an awesome week.